Hey, everyone. Hey, all you grumpy people. Because I have a suspicion you're here more for yourself than for the people that work for you. That's just a little bit of a... and I do want to preface this by saying that if any of you guys have worked for me, if I've ever been your manager, it's totally not about you. It's a little bit about you, but we all learn. It's great. Great experiences. So my name is Lisa. I work with Fastly as the Vice President for Site Reliability Engineering. Have you guys all had the problem already where if you say SRE, Siri wakes up? Anyone? Yeah. So I'm going to avoid saying it that much because she'll be recording my whole talk over there. An organization performs best if it's made up of diverse people. That's diversity with backgrounds, location, time zone, cultural impact, and basically also all the other obvious categories of diversity, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. In this particular field, obviously, you get a lot of opportunity to deal with like intense situations and intense people. And over the last 20 years, I've been working with all y'all and a lot of other folks. I started at Speakeasy and then went to LiveJournal and then went to Six Apart and Twitter, and now I'm at Fastly. So essentially, the very things that are like the most intense and obvious and impacting people on the internet, I feel like I've had a little bit of interaction with over the years, and I'm really thankful for that. So I've done everything from being, you know, like the ops person, the sysadmin, to managing NOC teams and DBAs, who are actually the grumpiest of all, as we know. But they're not the only grumpy ones, and I've learned a lot from that. Have been in various roles of management or individual contributor, and I've gone back and forth in my career as well. So obviously, I personally am a person who fits the diversity buckets. Obviously, a woman, and I'm vaguely ethnic, ambiguously ethnic. I come from humble beginnings, and I don't have a college degree. I don't like to wear pants. I have bad joints from playing roller derby for a lot of my life. And if I'm typing, I can't really listen to you, and it's really rude. I get grumpy. I get grumpy if I'm tired, if I'm hungry. If I haven't eaten in 3 hours, I'm pretty grumpy. And if I'm in pain, see previous note about neck and joints. If I have to do any kind of adulting in the background of my life when I would rather be working or fixing things, I get pretty grumpy. And I bring those into the office every day and into our incidents and into the environment we work in. And I assume that all the rest of you guys do too. And I think that's really important for you to consider. Because the topics that I'm going to be talking about today are going to be around having empathy, trust, and focus to help guide a team to create a more inclusive environment. So one quick thing on diversity, because I used that term in the talk, so you probably thought I'd be talking a lot about the subject of diversity. So here it is. Hire people who don't look like you, unless you look like me, in which case hire a lot of them. Don't just hire them for the stuff that doesn't matter. Don't think about hiring someone, we need somebody that doesn't look like me in here to make us look diverse. Let's have them be in this awkward position. What's the career path for that? Oh, I don't know. We can't hire them then. No, don't do that. Like, hire people to work on stuff that matters for your business. And there's a lot of stuff that matters besides just being on call. You don't have to have the answers. So, I've been hired a lot, and everybody who's hired me took a chance because I didn't meet the status quo. They didn't have an answer for me on what my career path was. Actually, in most cases, my job wasn't what they said it was when I started, sometimes within 4 days, which just happened to me 6 months ago. It's great. Love it. It'll keep happening, and that's what's really great about this industry is that we're constantly adapting, and you want to create the kind of environment where you can continue to adapt, no matter what their personality is like. Pay them fairly, and make sure you reach out to the underserved folks across any number of lines. So there's obviously like the protected classes, but I also want to call out, you know, people who have various kinds of health issues, mental or physical, people who have requirements to stay at home instead of coming into an office. And you're going to get, like, so I've been doing that for years and years, and you're just going to get, like, a broad range of people who, assuming you know how to create an inclusive environment, is going to make you a better person, you a better manager, and you're going to get more ideas to help your engineering group. So if you're here, I hope you're interested in management, or you're in management, or you have a good relationship with your manager, or you want to help them be better. As a manager, your job is to unify the opinions of the people in your team and build those processes, tools, and communication patterns to help them succeed, to let the team succeed as well as the individuals. This is a huge issue, I think, in our industry, but also an opportunity of grumpiness, right? So I think on a given, in any company I've ever worked with, in anyone that I've ever come into, I have found that technical decisions are being made because people want to avoid other folks in a team or in another, you know, another part of the company, because someone's grumpy, because they're mean, because you're afraid of them. That means that as an engineering culture, we're missing out on innovation because we're afraid of people who don't act like us or who do act like us, to be honest, and that makes us more afraid. So check your confirmation bias when you're hiring. Be delighted when people who you assume are just kind of nasty and no one wants to work with end up coming up with some great ideas and getting a team together. So it's natural to want to avoid friction, and that's totally understandable, but ultimately that's the friction that you have to face as a manager. And I can't overstate that enough. If you're uncomfortable with that, it will always be challenging for you to have an inclusive environment. But use that as a signal, and we'll talk about that some more. So don't confuse entitled behavior with a bad mood. Sometimes people are having a bad day, and it's easy to attribute that to something other than the fact that they're just kind of having a bad day or they're hungry. But sometimes they are acting entitled, and it's okay for you to check that as well. There's a short version of this talk, which is just eat a sandwich. I don't know how many times, even today, like, I personally will forget, and I'll be like, oh, shoot. I can't understand. I have no ability to understand or make the situation any better than it is. I haven't eaten in 5 hours. So eat a sandwich. Tell your teammates to eat a sandwich. If you are gluten intolerant, eat a burger with a lettuce wrapped around it. Take care of yourself. And you know, I can't, again, overstate how horrible it is for me as a leader to find out that people are making technical design decisions because they went to you one time and you were kind of awful to them, or someone on the team was kind of mean to them. You know, knock that off. There's some assumptions for the rest of this talk, which is that, you know, most of the time, ultimately, you have to believe that people can be awesome if you give them the chance. And I have to tell myself that all the time. But if you don't believe that, I think that's another signal for you to think about where you are in your organization. Because this is, like, I think, critical to our understandings of, you know, how to create an inclusive environment, which is that we are all actually can be awesome. And your job as a leader is to clear the way for that. It's definitely hard to remember it. So I'm going to talk about some three core components that I use to focus on as a leader. That's empathy, trust, and focus. I think if there were just three things to pay attention to as a leader in terms of personal development, those three areas will help you get into higher levels of leadership as well as have, like, a more solid team. So the first topic is empathy. We're all in the same miserable experience together, or depending on the day, the same opportunities exist for all of us if we're ready to embrace them. And depending on the day, I'll do, you know, both of those things. So empathy is basically letting people know you do know how they feel. It's allowing yourself to feel that. There's something I think about a lot which is that I used to coach roller derby, and I coached 10-year-old girls. And when they would start, they would cry. They'd cry because they were hurt. They'd cry because they were frustrated. They'd cry because they were afraid of what other people thought of them. And it took them a couple days, and they stopped crying, because there's no crying in roller derby. Although, actually, I think adults cry more than the kids, to be honest, because I coached them too. But I've kept that with me, like watching that experience, because I think we're all actually crying on the inside. And I think of that all the time in my one-on-ones. Someone's like telling me about they're so frustrated, you don't know what's going on, they're just like throwing things left and right. And I just think, you were born a little nude baby crying. And you're going through the same stuff I'm going through. You know, maybe some things were a little bit easier, maybe some things were harder. But you're not allowed to cry at work, you know, obviously. So, you know, and if you do, that's okay, no judgment. But, you know, most of us try not to. But that doesn't mean you're not crying on the inside. So we all know how it feels to get an arrow in our ass, apparently, according to this picture. So keep that in mind. So a technique I use before going into difficult conversations with someone who's being grumpy is to think about finding my curiosity first. So, you know, ultimately, we can all find some common ground. We're all in this room together right now. That's our common ground. When you find yourself thinking of things like, you know, well, I know the reason that you did that thing. You did that thing because you're just really pissed off about this other team, so you went and sabotaged it. Or, I know you were getting alerts all night, but you just wanted to sleep, and you don't really care because someone else is going to pick it up for you in the morning, are not good ways to go into your meetings with people. Those are your cues as a manager to think, you know, what is the question you could ask about that? Like, which part of that can you assume that maybe you don't understand? Which part can you understand that, like, it sucks to get alerts all night? Like, I can understand that. I can have empathy with that. You know, try and start your conversations that way. A huge technique that helps with me and all of the people that I work with, some of which I was sure hated each other all the time, is to pause and let them know that they're being heard first. Usually my first reaction to someone is the wrong thing to say to a person. Like, whatever the first thing is, it's like probably gonna be the worst thing to say. So I stop, listen to them, take them at face value, say what I heard back to them, and then let them tell me whether or not what I said was wrong. And that actually usually tells me what it is that they're really caring about. And I recommend that technique. I use it constantly. Also, make sure you've had a sandwich before you do that. So definitely when you're talking about empathy and trying to sort of put yourself in another person's shoes, remember your intent is not to solve their feelings. So I'm talking about feeling stuff right now, which is important. But at the end of the day, they're responsible for their feelings. You're just responsible for sort of creating an environment where once they can get through their feelings, they're able to improve. They're able to solve problems. The worst thing you can do when someone's going out at you is come back with like, well, at least you're, you know, the on-call example. Well, you know, at least you're not on call for months and months at a time, because that's what this other team's doing. That's like the worst thing you can do. The other thing would be to like dismiss it and just be like, you know, suck it up. Suck it up is like the worst thing you can say to a person when they're letting you know that something's kind of hurting them or making them challenged at work. These are the techniques establishing empathy that are required to build trust. And this picture actually doesn't make any sense for trust. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to put it together. It doesn't. I just love this picture. There's a lot going on here, actually, that I think if you look at it, it looks like the worst possible situation. That woman's twice my size, but like, actually, it was really fun. I knew exactly what was going on, and so did she. We are all in complete control of our movements in this environment. It just doesn't look like that here. Nobody was hurt, and actually, I think I'm laughing. So when you're building trust, you wanna establish trust between you and the person working with you, both as individuals and in that sort of power dynamic of IC and manager. And you want to build trust amongst your team members. And you want the people in your team to trust people outside of your organization as well. I think in the companies I've worked with, I think some of the most toxic environments in some critical times of the companies where we didn't trust that the other group was doing what they probably needed to do their job. I see that over and over again. So assume good intentions. Share your stories. I think sharing stories is a huge part of building trust and empathy. When you find out that the engineering group, the development group that rushed out the code that they didn't test, and then they're not getting the on-call, they're not getting alerts, and you were up all night. It sounds pretty shitty, like we've all been there. But on the other hand, when you hear the story about how they were on pressure to deliver something, a feature, and they were getting, all the other execs in the company pressure on them to do that at any cost, I think it's powerful for establishing that empathy between the two of you so you can work together to be like, how can you get the thing that you need done, your stuff deployed quickly and efficiently in a way that's not going to make my life miserable? And then as an individual, as a manager, share your stories. If you, that story I just said, if you were someone that had to deal with that once, share that story with them. If you had personal stuff going on in your life, share that story. I've got a super dysfunctional family, and every time I get a phone call from them, it's the worst day of my life. And by the way, you might have that going on too. And I'm just gonna tell you about that because now you feel you might understand when I tell you I need to deck out, leave for the afternoon. Another thing about about establishing trust is following through. So one method I see people do to build trust is to be your best friend and promise everything. You should trust me because I'm going to do everything awesome for you. It's going to be great. That is good for making friends and telling stories, but ultimately you can't follow through by promising everything. So what do you end up doing? You end up destroying that trust. You also destroy trust by creating an us versus them environment, and that could be us meaning your team, or it could be us individuals, this one person on the team. You and I are in it, and everyone else on this team is not in it. A couple things about that. One is it's effective to build that if you're in a game day, in a sports environment. Yes, you want to think us versus them. But it's not effective to have that's only effective if you're competing. But we're not competing in our organizations, right? We want to allow the most amount of people to contribute and to give their input and to be the best they can. So avoid doing that. You can see that you have a us versus them environment, by the way, if one environment variable changes, one person leaves, a reorg happens, and everything the team does is just collapsed. That's a sign that you have an us versus them environment that you've created. Don't gossip, don't lie, don't be just generally schmarmy. Focus. I think actually this is probably it for grumpiness. If you get a person who happens to be on the wrong day of their life, and suddenly they end up getting inundated by a bunch of questions, they can just turn into the worst monster. And again, lead to, hey, no one wants to work with them after that. The multitasking that we all crave and we love and it makes us feel like we're doing something is a myth about productivity. And in the end, really, we want to be impactful. Everybody does. Again, we're assuming best intentions. We want to be impactful. So your job as a leader is to focus that. Set the tone of your environment. Let people know what's allowed and what's not allowed about the language that you use. And repeat that message. So if you are doing something like saying, hey, we're going to assume the best intentions. Have you gone out and talked to that person about what's going on with that deploy and why it is that they're doing it at that crazy-ass hour? Keep asking that. Keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. If you're managing well, you are repeating yourself constantly. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. That is just how humans work. They have to hear it over and over. Target tasks to people and provide the right environment. Don't let, if you have interrupt work, designate someone to do interrupt work. Let the other people live. Really quickly about drama, save it for the llama. Personal drama works for reality TV. It works for family, holiday dinners, and terrible work environments that suck your will to live, and social media. But personal drama doesn't belong in deployments, during incidents, during brainstorming sessions, or architecture reviews. Like, leave that out. If you see drama going on in your team, like, don't manage around it, and don't manage for it either. Stop it right away. Take a timeout. It takes 20 minutes for your nervous system to recover from a fight or flight anxiety moment. Eat something. Tell everyone else to eat. Give a forum for follow-up. Like, hey, that was really crappy, but we're going to talk about it in this one-on-one separately or a mediated session. And then close the loop. If it was in a public forum, whatever this drama is, let people know afterwards, you know what, that situation happened. We dealt with it. Here's what we're going to do. Don't make long-term decisions. Don't say, Jeremy and Lisa are fighting all the time. Oh my God, they just had the biggest blow up. They can never work on this project again because that project just got derailed because you didn't want to deal with the drama. And don't let it fan out. Like, if you don't deal with it, that drama goes to the next person, that goes to the next person. Before long, your whole organization is drama. Knock it off, just stop it. That's your job as a leader. Also your job as a leader is in team meetings. Set the boundaries. And about what your expected language is. And I talk too much. Do all these things. Don't skip your team meetings. Don't let hostility run your team meetings. And encourage your team members to speak up and stop the people who hog the time from taking all of the time in your meeting. On your one-on-ones, be the "that was easy" button. Focus on what you can do to help them be better and to make their job easier. Do the hard conversations, but don't only do hard conversations. Share your stories, listen, and don't use them as a task update. Don't take it home, all these feelings. You're not their mom or dad. And like I said, it's your job to help move critical issues out of their path so they can be better. It's not your job to fix their feelings. It'll be worth it because you'll get to have a diverse pool of engineers. And you know, I think there's some relation to money. You make more money the more diverse people you have in an environment. I'm sure there's like a stat out there about that. So do that. Thank you. And we're hiring.